Well, hello everyone and welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, that's Dan Kinnis, and Dan, I think we finally hit the big leagues here.
Sure,
like, yeah. We have a video for our podcast. That's kind of new.
It is new.
Yeah, I know. I'm almost expecting to see us like on Joe Rogan, like, you know, you're scrolling through Instagram, it'll show those interview clips. That's going to be us.
Yeah, we'll be right
in, like,
behind that.
2 weeks time, just you watch.
I'm just more thinking, like, what do I do with my hands? You know, now that everybody can see.
So. Yeah, if you guys are watching, you're going to learn all of my little tics, the twitches. I bounce my knee a lot. So that'll be a fun game for you to play at home if you're watching at
that's
home,
right,
I suppose.
That's right.
How many times does Austin tap his leg? All right. Well, so got a little bit of business that I just want to get it through. And I figured it's good to get the business out at the start of the episode because then people are going to sit through and listen to the rest of the episode instead of being like, oh, they're done talking. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Mm-hmm. So a few new changes. First, obviously, if you're watching this, we have video. And if you're not watching this, in case you hadn't noticed, we have video. So all of the video is going to be released, clips of it on like Facebook and Instagram and whatnot. But all of our episodes are going to be released on YouTube. You can look up Friendship Christian Reformed Church or use our tag at Friendship CRC. I'm going to put those in a little scrolling bar on the bottom now that we have the little visual handle to tell you. So all of our upcoming deeper episodes, extra content, all of that's going to be there. Also, we're no longer going to be labeling episode numbers. And Dan, we're doing this because for 3 weeks in a row, according to all of our things, we have been on episode 92.
Stuck.
Because for some reason, I can't count.
No.
And you would think that, you know, after we've been doing this 92 episodes, I would have learned how to count.
Math was not going to be involved.
Math was, yeah. So if you are used to seeing that format, just so you know, that's going to be a change. Also, like, nobody wants to scroll back like, man, I'm like 30 episodes behind or something. Like, that just feels weird. Nobody likes that. So that will be a new change. Things that are staying the same, all of our audio-only content will be released where it has been released.
Okay.
So if you're listening to this the same way you've been listening to this, that's not going to change. If you want a new audio place, I think we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music. Yes. Just Amazon. Yeah, that's right. We're on those three right now. If you want us to be on something else, shoot me an email at tech@friendshipcrc.org. I think I saw today that I could put us on one of those radio things.
iHeartRadio.
That's the one. Okay. iHeart. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you really do desperately want us to be on iHeartRadio, let me know and I'll get that set up. And we will still be releasing our videos on Wednesdays, although it might be later in the day than Wednesday at noon, just because editing a video takes longer than just editing the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought? But that's all of the business stuff. So now we can actually kind of dig into what we're here for. So, Dan, what do we talk about on Sunday?
Yeah, we're kind of kicking off our ministry season now. Things were beginning this past week and are really going now this week. And so at the outset of that, we thought it would be good to visit our faith practices. How do we practice our faith? We're starting a new season. It's good to visit these fundamentals. And the acronym we have for that here is based on our name, FRIEND, and kind of some basic practices we can be doing flowing from that. And so to help us think about that, we went to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, just a few verses there, where Jesus at the end of them very clearly says, whoever's my brother or sister or mother or father, they're the ones who take God's word and put it into practice. And it's not the only place he says that. We know it's an emphasis that we need to not just hear what Jesus says or hear God's word, but to actually do it, put it into practice. And so we recognize that. We talked about a few motivations Jesus gives us, both positive and negative, to push us in that direction. And then also thought, well, why don't I always do this? What are some challenges? And we looked a bit at the parable of the sower, which Jesus in Luke says right before this to see, oh, this is how the fruit doesn't come sometimes from God's word, and here's the reasons why. And then we just talked about our FRIEND acronym.
Mm-hmm.
And here's these practices that we see in Jesus that he does and that we want to imitate in our relationship with God and with our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, the gist of it. I hope a pretty practical message. And I did hear from a few. Yeah, some of you may be listening or watching. saying that, yeah, you know, there's some things to think about, right, for all of us of, yeah, how am I practicing my faith? What does that look like? Where's my energy going? So mm-hmm. I appreciate that encouragement that there is good relevance to this, and we all need to keep thinking about it together. Absolutely.
Well, and it's one of those that as I was thinking through, I'm like, so we got the whole friend acronym to go through, and I'm like, I got four or five questions for each of those. Sure, so, sure. Like, so I really appreciated that. But before we get into the acronym, Dan, what else is in the scripture, whether it's, you know, before, after, we talked a little bit about the parable of the sower, but what else would be helpful for us to understand as we were looking at this specific period or piece of scripture?
Yeah, yeah, Austin, you mentioned the context, and we talked about that a bit, you know, seeing that parable come right before and Jesus' explanation going right into this. It's clear that for Luke's gospel, these are put together because of that match, that application that's going on. It's important, too, to see how Jesus does say very similar bits of wisdom and teaching in other places, in Luke and the other gospels. So to see when he has in Luke, it's not the Sermon on the Mount, we call it the Sermon on the Plain, but very similar to Matthew's. And at the end, that story of, you know, the builder, building house on sand or rock, and the application is almost the same line he used at the end of the passage we had here. So when you hear that repetition, you know, oh, this is important.
Right.
This is something he emphasized on multiple occasions. And these teachings, whether, you know, here he mentions light. You know, light's going to reveal. We don't have light shining so that we can hide it under a bed. He teaches that in other places too. So again, a familiar image for Jesus that can help us to see how his ministry even went along, how he went to different places. He maybe told the same parable, maybe slightly different way given his context. And that it helps us understand maybe why the Gospels tell things slightly differently too, because there might have been multiple times he shared some of these stories. So I hope those little tidbits are helpful for, you know, you're reading a scripture as you get into it and read and maybe have questions. Some of those things can be helpful too. But yeah, you think about Luke, who he's writing to, who he is as a doctor, that all can impact, you know, the way he puts things together and why maybe he's explaining this or not explaining that. His audience would have maybe known that or not. So in this case, it was a shorter chunk. Luke, we see this conversation about Jesus' mother and brothers, for example. He has that in a little different place than in, like, Mark's gospel.
Right.
But he's emphasizing this point about you need to practice God's word. So, yeah, beyond that, there's always more, but I think nothing really specific from this one.
Well, that's still really good to keep in mind, so thanks for that, Dan. All right, so as we're looking at the FRIEND acronym, and we've got a lot of really practical things here, some of these things we might be really good at already.
Sure.
And some of these we might be a little to a lot less practiced on and might not know where to start. So, for example, like, I know a lot of people here, a lot of people who listen to this podcast, we're great at that feasting thing, especially feasting with our friends. Like, there's some people I know who I'm planning to have dinner with who listen to this podcast. Like, that is something we do well here at Friendship. Some of us, it comes a lot easier. The engage portion of that might be completely different. We're not necessarily sure how that looks. So if we're trying to get started on something, how can we even begin to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? Because that shows a good inclination. Like, I do want to do something here and engage my faith or, you know, get more into prayer, whatever it might be. Using the engage example, right, that kind of I need to put my faith into practice. I need to serve. We kind of talked about that. We talked about the God side. I need to listen to the Spirit's leading. That's my engagement there. So that's a great place to start, is pay attention and why am I getting this prompting? But some of that leading from the Spirit might already be evident in the way you're made and the gifts you have.
Yeah.
So seeing, I love to do this. Maybe it is serve people in this way. Maybe it's I feel gifts and I like to teach. That probably is where you can engage best. God's made you that way. That's the leading of his Spirit. And so look for those things that are going to fit up well with you. It might be stage of life. Some of us maybe have more time than we did, or some of us are in a period where it's very busy with our families. So you have to gauge maybe based on season what is possible for you. What can you really engage well?
And I think that's actually really good to keep in mind just throughout all of this, like, as we're trying to engage, what Dan is able to do is going to be very different from what I'm able to do, what my, you know, my family who's in high school or college. Like, we have these different stages that we're in, and that is going to impact in some ways even how much we're able to do some of these things, just from a practical perspective.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be so obvious either. Sometimes the engagement is a one-to-one. Like, I just see that I can serve Austin in some way, you know, in a particular situation. That's engaging my faith too, putting it into practice. I know some of these overlap, of course, as well. But and sometimes it is like, oh, I'm going to take on a fairly prominent role. I'm leading this ministry, or and it's all good, right? And following the lead of the Spirit, you know, knowing how God's made us, trusting that He's going to equip me too. If He's pointing me in this direction, I'm going to follow Him to serve Him. I'm going to live as Jesus lives. God's going to provide, so I can do that well and, you know, see those needs met. Because sometimes, if you're like me, I doubt a little bit. I don't know if that, maybe somebody else, I don't know if I can really do that well. I don't know if I'm able to, we're wondering. And so, well, if God's engaging you and leading you that direction, and you've prayed about it and you thought, like, yeah, you're looking for a place to serve. Sometimes we got to step into it in faith and trust that God's going to work through us and in us as we do that. So, yeah, and that can go to really any of the categories. You could talk about reading Scripture. Okay, I want to read Scripture. Well, that might not look the same for Austin and myself or for you. There's different ways, different practices of how we can read Scripture. You can read through it chronologically. You could read Genesis to Revelation. You can do the practice of Lectio Divina, which is kind of the slower reading and really reflective. So it's not the one size fits all. Same with prayer. Just try to find and maybe do some investigation what might work for you, especially as we're trying to develop these practices going along. Yeah.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Dan. On to the neighbor portion of this acronym. So we already did kind of speak about this a little bit in the past, but it came up again, and we might have some new people watching or listening. So figured always worth revisiting. What does it mean to practically bless our neighbors? Mm-hmm. Now, there's so many different ways you can understand it, because, again, the way we use the word bless is kind of loosey-goosey. Mm-hmm. So could that be just, you know, like, with the right intention, I'm going to do something small for you, pray for you, and that's it? Is there more to it? Is it, like with most things, a little bit of both? Like, how do we understand blessing our neighbors?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. We kind of said that with the neighbor one, that that's the word that's connected to it is blessing. And so it's good to define it more carefully or clearly. And really, I think maybe even as we talked about it a couple weeks ago, the idea of kind of pouring life into someone, right? And that can take on so many forms. But for me, the question when I'm operating well in this area, I go into situations, conversations, relationships, thinking, how can I bless this person? How might God give me the opportunity? How can I uplift them is another way to say it. How can I bring some added life to them in a God-given sense, right, of, be filling rather than emptying. I think you know what I mean when we say that, right? So that's, you know, that mindset, that question, and thinking, and it could be very small. In the grand scheme, right? Just some words of acknowledgement of, you know, treating someone else like a person. I was given the example just the other day. You know, we eat out some, go to restaurants and that. And I've learned that typically if I, you know, whoever's serving us, waiter, waitress, whoever, you know, just referring to that person by their name can mean a lot to them, because it says like, oh, you're seeing me not just as I bring me my food and my drink and get out of the way kind of thing. But, oh, you're a person here that I'm interacting with even for the short time. Right. So that might be a pretty small thing, but that can be uplifting. That can personalize, you know, reflect. You know, you're an image bearer of God.
And I think that intentionality is really undergirds a lot of this. Like, what is my intention to when I interact with my neighbor?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Going in with that purpose. With that sight, we've talked about that a lot on our podcast over the months of, you know, trying to see everyone first and foremost. They're made in God's image, might be in a completely different place from me as far as their faith, as far as maybe the way they dress or where they're from or their story. But we have that in common. We share, you know, that we've been made in the image of God as human beings. So how do I try to treat them well and uphold them, bless them, right? And again, there's different times, right? With an actual neighbor in your neighborhood, you might have more conversations. They're just sharing something's going on in their life. And then the Spirit's working to say, oh, maybe we should have provide a meal for them. They're going through something they lost in their family. They're going through grief, or they're really busy now, or they're going through something with one of their kids. How can we help out? You know, just paying attention, looking for those. Like I said, when I'm at my best, and I certainly not operating this way all the time, but when I'm at my best and tuned with the Spirit is when I'm thinking that way, even before I'm talking to someone. It's just there where I'm thinking, how can I help? How can I bless? How can I uphold this person, these people? I think that's how God wants us to be. Jesus' whole mission is directed toward us and upholding us and giving us life and blessing. So, yeah, that's kind of how I describe that. And, again, don't want to limit it to it's got to be these big actions. Sometimes you'll have that opportunity and that call. Other times it is just maybe holding the door for somebody, right? It's just, yeah, making that eye contact and acknowledging someone who's maybe having a downtime. Maybe it's noticing, oh, this person who's helped me at the counter, they seem down, and just asking, you doing okay? They don't get that interaction. It's all transactional. So lots of different ways we can do that. But that approach, intentionality, and we'll acknowledge right here that this is more work. The easy way is to just go about it not that way, just kind of no thought, just worried about myself. Yeah, bring my food out. I've just got to go in to do this.
Well, and I think also, yeah, with that, like, it can be easy to be like, you know, I'm going to say a quick prayer for them because they look stressed and unhappy. But I'm on my schedule, so I'm going to, you know, I got to go and get somewhere. Mm-hmm. Whereas like that, again, with that intentionality, it could be like, yes, I might be a little busy. Yes, I might have things going on, but I need to take a moment here. Mm. And like with a lot of these, I was noticing so many of these really involve, of these practical steps, involve giving of our resources, whether that's time or finances or energy or our labor, whatever that is. Really just being generous with what resources we have really ties a lot of this together.
It does. You're absolutely right. You know, I think a lot of some of you know are familiar with John Mark Comer, right? He's written some good books, pastor, and one, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And one of his points there from the outset is the call to love God and love neighbor. We can't do that well when we're in a hurry. And so you need to take time. But even just spending time with someone now is a huge communication of your value for them. Because everybody knows there's stuff to do, there's stuff going on. So when you take the time to listen, to talk with someone, maybe to get creative, to think about how you can help them, that says a lot. That will bless somebody because it's upholding them and the value they have and that you care about them. So yeah, that slowing down and the using my resources for not just me, or you know, my circle,
yeah,
it says a lot. So yeah.
The last part of the acronym I want to talk about was dialogue. You know, this is where we're speaking with God, obviously, and we go through that. But this is also where, and the phrase we used was witness to our neighbor. On the theoretical level, that's easy, sure, but on the practical level, that gets a little more complicated, especially because how we understand witness can vary massively.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, as I was thinking about this, I was like, so when I think of witnessing to someone, the first thing that comes to mind, to be honest, is a street preacher. or, like, giving my testimony in front of youth group or something of that nature, which there's a place to that. But I think it can and should be more than just that. So my question for you with that is, what does witnessing to our neighbors effectively look like? How do I determine what I think people need in a witnessing contest or context versus what will actually be helpful? Because like going back to the street preacher, like maybe there's a few people in my generation who will be like, I'm really going to spend some time and listen to what this guy's going to say. 99.9% of us are like even if we agree with him, we're like, kind of uncomfortable. That's not an effective witness. So how can we be an effective witness?
Yeah. It's a great question. You might have had a Freudian slip there with contests, because sometimes I think we get into the witnessing situations as like a contest, like I'm going to outsmart you and then you're going to believe in Jesus kind of thing.
The apologetics.
Right, sure. And there's a place for that.
Yeah.
Some people want to have an apologetic conversation, which gets to probably how do we have a more effective dialogue about our faith. We do need to understand who we're talking to and maybe where they're coming from, which means I probably need to listen even before I'm really... It's a dialogue, so I need to listen to them as well as say words. So I might have a conversation with someone like, I know Austin pretty well now, and he might very well relish an apologetic conversation. And I might know that about him, so then we could talk about, well, what about this? Well, how does that answer to that?
Right.
But someone else, that's not going to be effective. They have no interest in that. And also understanding where someone's at in their own faith journey. So it's interesting you asking this, because even today I had a message that was thinking about those who call themselves the nuns, right? Or that's how we categorize, oh, they have no faith. But it was breaking down, even I think it was four different types within that category.
Right.
Right. Some who are, pretty much zealous atheists, I think was how it was titled, right? They're being apologetic. They're trying to convert people away from the faith. Mm-hmm. But that's only a small percentage. But then there's this other group that, they still pray regularly and they still believe in God, but they're just not really going to church. And there's four, right? So just understanding the whole point of the post was you have to dialogue with each of them differently.
Yes.
They're coming from different places. That zealous atheist, you need a different approach than the one who's, practicing some things of the faith but just isn't really connected with a church family right now. So I think for all of us, we understand maybe what is needed. Like, we need Jesus. We need to know God. That's what we're convicted of in our own lives. We want people to know that, but we have to think about how we dialogue. And sometimes it takes a little getting to know someone before we can really talk about deeper matters. We got to build trust, especially someone outside the church who's maybe questioning of institutions and the church institution. Maybe take some time. Maybe someone's been hurt by their experience in the church. They trust God maybe, but the church, there's been bad experience. And so you have to be able to listen to that and talk about it. And
Kind of like, so I come from a missionary background. And one of the things that my family is fully convinced of, it's their missional model, is long-term relationships. Mm. Because while you can make a difference in the short term, like if you really want to enact heart change, you're going to need to spend a lot of time with people. Mm-hmm. So that they know you, so that you know them, and that you're able to actually speak into that context. And I think sometimes, especially here in the States, it can be easy to think, well, yeah, that's a missionary thing. Mm. Missionaries do that in other places. Mm-hmm. Like, that is something that is important if you are in Africa or in Asia or somewhere else. But, like, I don't really need to be that intentional here because I'm not a missionary. But we are, though. Mm-hmm. And I think keeping that perspective in, like, we are all engaged in long-term missions work if we're believers.
Yeah, and someone needs to do that work, right? If someone's going to really grow in their faith, come to faith, someone needs to be doing that long-term steady work of discipleship, I think is often what we call it. Sometimes it's witness, but it's also discipleship, because I might have a situation where God has set up an encounter for a moment, and maybe I'm going to say something, he's going to say something through me that will get this person thinking about their faith. You know, we're on a flight together. We're, in a restaurant and I see somebody. But somebody's then got to pick up the mantle from there. And we trust that God will raise somebody up. But that, I think, to Austin's point of, we all need to be engaged that way, because somewhere along the road, everybody in their faith journey to Christ and then even growing in Christ needs that long-term relationship. That's where the transformation keeps happening. So we need to be ready for all situations, because God might put someone with us for a moment, and he's the, that person's ready for that conversation then. And it might just be a couple hour thing or a passing thing. But other times he's saying, I need you to go a distance with this person and walk with them for this period of time. You're gifted for that. You're capable. You can help them walk this next path to faith. And then maybe somebody else takes it from there. That's all of our stories of faith, right? So I appreciate that model, that relationship, getting to know somebody. Growth happens in trust too, right? Mm-hmm. Inviting someone to church happens. They receive that when they know you. Mm-hmm. If your neighbor knows you and trust you and has seen you're looking out for their good, and then you invite them to church, they're much more likely to go with you versus like they saw our Facebook post. Mm-hmm. They might think about it, but if they're going with somebody they know, they like, they are much more likely to. So
it's almost like we serve a relational God and yeah. are made in his image.
Yeah, yeah, it makes complete sense. And sometimes, yeah, because it is harder, because it's going to be uncomfortable at times and take some sacrifice, it's harder for us, right? Yep. So,
yeah. What can we be looking forward to this next Sunday?
So it's fitting that we thought about this kind of practicing our faith this past week, because we're going to enter into a new series now, and we're going to go into the book of James. And so we're planning to go through that entire book, letter, in the next couple of months. And if you know anything about James, it's fitting that we talked about practical things, because James is very practical and calling us to faith, but also to practicing our faith. And really this image of seeing how all of our life, every area should match up, right? If I say I'm a follower of Jesus, well, the way I talk should match, and the way I treat people should match. And so we're going to get into that this week, the first chunk of James 1. And it's very interesting even to see from the get-go, James says he's writing to the, you know, the scattered tribes, the scattered people of God all over the place. So we're kind of fractured, but we're not supposed to be. We're united in Christ. So even in that grander church sense, that's how we're supposed to be.
Right.
And we need to work on that too. Let alone, yeah, he gets into some of the practical things, a lot of wisdom in James. So we're very excited. Myself, Pastor Eric, are going to be exploring that in the weeks ahead, months ahead. So that's where we're going. We'll be in James 1, the opening verses this week.
Awesome. Well, I'm super looking forward to that. Thank you again, Dan, as always, for your time. Thanks for being willing to come on camera. Mm-hmm. And thanks to all of you who are watching on camera or listening. We wouldn't do this without you. We're so grateful for you. Go in peace, and we will see you next time.